I have really enjoyed doing these Bible readings. Marilyn, I think, has just been thrilled with them. She said she's learned so much going through the Old Testament like we have. Through the whole Bible, actually, we've done just about 50 to 60% of the whole Bible in our Bible readings, and this is lesson number 108, the 23rd chapter of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. Now, this is a very important place in my life. I don't know how many of you out there have ever been to the cave of Machpelah in Hebron, but I've been there. When I went to the Middle East on an archaeological tour, I got 4 units of college credit for that, for biblical archaeology. And we went to places that are very dangerous. And this is one of them today. I don't know whether anyone is offering any tours or any archaeological studies in this area at all. This is quite... To me, it was one of the holiest places that I ever walked on, was here at the Cave of Machpelah in Hebron. We were in great danger. They had rifles out and pistols and everybody running around with loaded firearms. You could hear gunfire all over. But we got to go there because this is a very important archaeological site. It is one of the most valid sites of any site in what we call the Holy Land tours. The Cave of Machpelah, the city of Damascus, Syria, the city of Jericho, these are very important archaeological sites. The Dead Sea Caves over there, where the Qumranians and the Essenes were. The city of Bethlehem, the very place where Christ was born. The city of Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, and the cities around there. And all of these have a very important place. Jesus' ministry was around the Sea of Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem. But you go back way longer in time. Here's when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Let's go back, way back, 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 back now. Before Moses, before the Egyptian bondage of Israel, and go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Right here to the 23rd chapter of Genesis is what we're talking about in archaeological history. Around 3,000 years ago. The place is still there. The bodies are still there. The body of Abraham. The body of Isaac. The body of Sarah. Of Leah. Now, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba. That is Hebron. Now, I've been there. When you walk on this ground, you're walking on ancient civilizations. You're walking where the father of faith was buried and where Sarah was buried. In the land of Canaan, Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, she was his half-sister and she was his wife, and she was going to be the mother of the promised seed of God. Then Abraham rose from before his dead, and he spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger, I am a pilgrim, I am a sojourner among you, and give me a burial site among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The word Machpelah means two mouths. Machpelah, it's a cave with two mouths. Double mouth cave. That's what it literally means. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, "Hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves, and none of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead." So Abraham arose and he bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, "If it is your wish, for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me. And approach Ephraim, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give to me the cave of Machpelah." The cave of Machpelah. I'll never forget being there. I wish I had... I have some slides of it showing me there at the Cave of Machpelah and also the mouth of the cave, the double-mouthed cave. I don't have them here. They're still in California at my other place down there. But if you go to archaeological tour of the land of Palestine that I did probably 10 or 15 years ago, you can look at that because the slides are there. There's a slideshow there. "Give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field, for the full price. Let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site." Now, he wants to go to the gates of the city, and he's going to get the city fathers, the elders of the city, and he is going to pay for this piece of land. Now, as you see this, this is one of the oldest real estate transactions recorded in history. And this property is Abraham's property. "For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for burial sites." Verse number 10. "Now Ephraim, who was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephraim the Hittite, answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of the Heth, even all who went in and out of the gate of the city, saying..." See, now they're in the gate of the city, and the gate of the city is the courthouse. That's where the courthouse. He's going to record this real estate transaction. "No, my Lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the presence of all the sons of my people, I give it to you to bury your dead." And Abraham bowed before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephraim in the hearing of all the people of the land, saying, "If you will only please listen to me for a moment, I will give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there." Then Ephraim answered Abraham, saying to him, "My Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, that is between me and you, and so bury your dead." 400 shekels of silver. And Abraham listened to Ephraim, and Abraham weighed out to Ephraim the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, a commercial standard, by the way. This is what, according to the current value. The word silver in Hebrew, by the way, means money. It means sunny, money. "And so Ephraim field, which is in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and a cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field that were within all the confines of the border were deeded over to Abraham." This is an old, valid deed. It was valid in that day because they had the judges and the lawyers of the city in the gate of the city. They all swore that Abraham bought this piece of land. And when you go to that place today, if you could, I'm not sure anybody, there are any tours to this place in Hebron at all. they had just killed several people there. There was a big shooting there just before I got there in 1975 or 6, 76, I believe. All the trees in the field he gave to him. Now, trees were something. The oaks of Mamre, the oak trees of Mamre, all the trees with it which were in this area were deeded over to Abraham. Verse number 18 now. To Abraham for possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went in and out of the gate of the city. Remember, Lot was a judge in the city of Sodom, where everybody came in and out of the city. He was one of the judges there. In the gates, let me get up. Here's a city, usually a walled city. Now, when you go into the city, right in this area, there is a compound right in the gates of that city. And here is where the important people of the city are. And when they walked in there, you went into this gate, and then you went into this gate. On into the rest of the city, but when you first came into the city, the first thing you saw was a courthouse. That's it. First thing you saw was a courthouse. And all the lawyers. Good, bad, and ugly. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Now, when you go, if you could, that is, above the cave, there is a lower place here where the mouth of the cave is, okay? And this is all fenced off. But when you go above here is a mosque. It had been a church a long time ago. But above here is a mosque. And in that mosque, there are coffins. The coffins supposedly are built right above where the bones of these people actually are. And you'll see all the people that are buried here. The first person buried in this cave was Sarah, and there's a coffin for her, Sarah. There's a coffin for Abraham. There's a coffin for Isaac. There's a coffin for all of these people. Jacob is buried there. Leah is buried there. All the way back in time. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. These were the Hittites. Remember, there was a very important Hittite later on that was a worshiper of God in David's army, Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba. And that's later on. This goes all the way back to the time of Abraham now. When Abraham lived and then Abraham died, well, actually Sarah died, and all of these patriarchs are buried in that cave to this very day. It is, I can't explain, there's a knowledge of this in my mind. But sometimes with knowledge comes emotion, doesn't it? Have you ever sit back at time and think about when you ask the Lord to save your soul? And many times there is emotion at that time. There was a time when you actually asked the Lord to save your soul, and there was an emotional release at that moment because you asked the Lord to save your soul and forgive your sins. And you study theology, and you look back, and you look at that moment, and you say, that is the moment where I received eternal salvation. And that ought to be hair-raising type. It ought to be a very emotional, intellectual experience. You see that? And you think about justification. I just studied justification and sanctification and atonement and all of these theological things, and you look back and you think about that time, and you think about, this is the time that I was saved, I was justified, and I was also sanctified. You think about that. A lot of people have asked me in times young and old, will there ever be a time when I really will feel holy and sanctified? Is there a time that I'll actually be totally sanctified like I am justified? And you say yes. Yes, you are. But the only one thing about it, as you begin the process, and sanctification is something that happens instantly also, like justification, except sanctification is somewhat of a process. But the more sanctified you get, the more unholy you feel. Because you realize, when God takes over your spirit, everything you do contrary to that spirit is of the flesh. Paul says, I die daily. I feel myself dragged into the grave daily by this flesh. That which I want to do, I do not. That which I do not want to do, I do. We look at that. But there was a time in your life when you began to feel, when you began to know that you were saved. Then you go back to this cave again. And I had read the whole Bible, and I read all about these people that were buried here. And I'm now standing on that ground. I'm standing on the ground where all of this happened, where they, every one of them, were escorted, their bodies were escorted into that cave and put into those shelves in that cave. There was a time when all that happened. A time when it happened. What an amazing place. What a holy place. Where all these bodies are deposited. I've done a lot of funerals in my life, and when I'd be in a graveyard, a cemetery, I'd say this place is a necropolis. Necropolis means the city of the dead. But I said, one of these days there will be nothing left here. All of the dead in Christ will rise, and 1,000 years later, the rest of them are going to raise. This will not be a necropolis, but a city of living. All of those bodies will come out living. As I look back to that moment when I walked upon the top of that cave, and I walked into that mosque, with standing on carpets barefooted, of course. You've got to take your shoes off. You can't walk in there with shoes on. You're walking on carpets, some of them 2,000 years old. Carpets, 2,000 years old. And you're walking in this place, and you go up and you look at this coffin, and you know down below that coffin is that body that has been put in that hope chest for the resurrection. One of these days. You look at that and you see it and you know that there's going to be a resurrection. You look back to your life. You look back to the point of salvation. And you know that God marked you for the resurrection at that moment. He marked you for sanctification. He marked you for justification. He marked you, earmarked you, branded you according to His eternal promises and His eternal purpose. God is not through with you, and He's not through with me. He's still working on us. We're His. We're branded, we're earmarked, and he's still working on us. We're a project in process. We look at that. You come to my property here today, and we're building a front room on it where we can put a dining table and a buffet and a china cabinet, and on the other end there will be a wood-burning cook stove, which will greatly reduce our energy dependence in the wintertime, and a place for Marilyn to paint. And you can look at that, and it all is right now is just a bunch of boards, and it's not all finished. It's only got half the roof on it so far. But you can look ahead and see what it's going to be. You know what you plan for it to be. You can look at the windows and the doors that are going to be there and all of this. And then you look at ourselves, and you look at ourselves as God looks at us as already with Him and justified and sanctified in eternity. He sees us that way. He sees us that way. Frank Lloyd Wright and Lloyd Wright, Frank Lloyd Wright Jr., were some of the greatest architects in the history of America. And I have got one of his blueprints here of a house that he built in Fish Lake Valley and two barns. Marilyn painted a picture of that barn. If you looked at our update the other day, you'll see the picture of the barn that Marilyn painted that Frank Lloyd Wright built. Very beautiful and unique and unusual. Every one of us are like diamonds being polished. Diamonds in the rough, so to speak. And God is working on us and designing us that we'll be part of one of the jewels in His crown in glory. We will be like we ought to be. Like we ought to be. We won't have the desires of the flesh then as we do now. We'll be new creations. Brand new bodies, brand new. Everything of the world is going to be washed away. That cave of Mephila has been a very important place in my life and in my memory ever since I've been there. It's very important to God because that's where the patriarchs are buried in their hope chests. Our Father, thank you for this message today. Thank you for the memories that I have of this place, the very special memories. Thank you that I was able to go there, even in danger. I'm still alive, and I lived through it. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.